Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
Amen. When I heard Katie practicing that song, I was thinking, that's a perfect song for today for me. I'm really thankful in a special way today. I'd like to invite the other pastor. Oh, they're here. Stuck up on me. We have some folks that have come for membership. We've voted them into membership, and we'd like to just extend to them the right hand of fellowship and give them their certificates. So if I could have Hong and Richard come up, please. Right here. Amen. Let's give them a hand. There's yours, Richard, and then yours is back here in the back.
Thank you
so much. Just step right over here, if you would, and just wait with us, and we'll have one more couple coming up here. If I could have Chang Ki and Jung come up as well. Amen. Welcome them. So excited for all these folks that are joining hearts and hands and serving the Lord together here at Temple. Well, welcome to you, brother. Welcome, sister. Welcome. And here's your guys's. And there's the two certificates. Thank you so much. And, oh, no, division in the church. It's all right. All right. You're protected. You're under his wing. All right. It's exciting. And Shelley Lynch is now a member of the church, but she was not here. She works every other Sunday, so she'll be here next week. We'll extend to her the right hand of fellowship. And any others who want to be part of the membership discussion, please just speak a word to myself or one of the other pastors, and we'll make sure we get you involved. I know there's some over here that want to talk about that, and others as well. So be mindful of that. God is adding to our church daily, as he should, and we're going to be doing great things for him as we come into 2018. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Let's give him one more hand. Let's turn to 473, please. 473, I am thine, O Lord. Another song that just talks about to whom we belong. Let's all stand together as we sing this together. 473, I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. 473.
I am thine, O Lord, and I heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
As we sing stanza four, all the children through the fifth grade are dismissed. Stanza four together, let's sing it now.
There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
Amen. Be seated, please. Pastor Caleb.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm completely used to that sound, so I have no idea who that was because I got like a 1 in 8 chance of figuring that out. It is crazy to believe that it is already almost December. I think this last year has been a complete whirlwind for my wife and I, and I think back where I was a year ago, I could have probably only told you 2 cities in Washington, maybe. When I thought Washington, I always thought Washington, D.C., because I'm over on the East Coast, and now to think that I'm actually living here, and I'm at a church that I didn't even know existed a year ago at this time, and it's crazy to think what the Lord has done in this past year. It's exciting, and we're so thankful for where the Lord has brought us in this last time, and we're excited to see where we're going to go from here. This morning, I want to talk about something that I think we all struggle with, and that I know we all struggle with, and maybe that we don't really consider a lot. And that is what our identity is in Christ. What it looks like, where we were before, and where we are now. And where hopefully you are because you accepted Christ as your Savior. So I want you to go ahead and turn with me to Romans chapter 6. We're going to spend a little bit of time there kind of throughout the message this morning. We're going to be looking at a bunch of different other passages as well. We're going to start off in Romans chapter 6. So I want to start off with this statement this morning. Everyone here this morning is either a slave or a servant. We can all be identified by one of those two terms. Now, what exactly do I mean by that? I'm not talking about a slave that you might commonly think of a slave in the world's mind. I think when you think of slavery, you think a lot. You think back in the 1800s, you think of the Civil War. You know, honestly, in doing some research, though, the slave trade is still very much alive today. There's actually more slaves in the world right now than there ever has been in the history of the world. It is still very much a serious issue. It's not the point of the message today. But have you considered that even here this morning, there are slaves here today? There are folks here today that are still enslaved by sin. On the other side, there are some of us here that are no longer slaves to sin. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are now servants to righteousness, as we're going to discuss this morning. But yet many of us are still acting like we are slaves to sin. So what does it look like to be either a slave or a servant? We're going to look at that this morning. So Romans chapter 6, I'm going to go ahead and read that. Verses 16 through 23. Romans 6, 16 through 23. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? for the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning we're looking at, are we a slave or are we a servant? Let's open up with prayer. Lord, I thank you for the challenge that we can see from your word just in reading this text and that we get a look at this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us today to be able to identify whether we are still living a life of slavery to sin or whether we have turned ourselves over to you, Lord, and we are your servants. And Lord, I pray if we have accepted your free gift of salvation, we are a believer here today, that we would be able to say that we are no longer identifying as a slave to sin, Lord. Lord, that we are not letting sin control us and dominate our lives. And I pray that we'd be able to get some more clarity on that this morning, and that we'd be renewed in our desire to live for you in everything that we do. Thank you so much for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we think about these two different descriptions of us, it kind of comes down to the choices that we make and the choice that we make whether we are going to be a slave to sin or whether we have decided to become a servant unto righteousness, as is discussed here. You know, what is natural for us to do really does not take a lot of choice. It just kind of happens. And then we have things that we have to decide to do. You think of some things that are natural we don't have to be told to do, like sleeping or eating. Or you know, as I'm learning with my daughter, you know, crying really doesn't take a lot of thought either. You know, I look at my daughter, and she everything she does, she's not really choosing to do at this moment. It's just kind of natural for her to do. She sleeps, she eats, and she cries. It's just a trifold life. There's some other things that happen too, but she is just, you know, just kind of naturally doing things. And as our life goes on, we kind of do these same natural things. We don't have to really be told to eat. Maybe sometimes you go for a while and someone's like, have you eaten? You have to eat. But if it takes long enough, you really don't have to be told to eat. You really don't have to be told to sleep either. But if you keep going for too long, you're just going to fall asleep on your own. You know, these things that we don't have to really think about to do. There's other things in our life that we do have to decide to do. You know, like going to work. You do have to decide to go to work. You know, there's some days that going to work, you know, it's enjoyable. You're like, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. If you have a job that you really enjoy doing, there's days that, yeah, it's good to do. And there's other days, you know, it's work. And you don't really want to do that. And that kind of goes all back to the curse, and it's really not exactly a desirable thing to do. But if you want to be able to eat and to sleep and do the other things, you have to be able to work. You have to decide to do that. You have to make that choice. For those of you that are still in school, this is the first year and out of my 24 years of life, I started school when I was 4. So for the last 20 years, I've been in school every year at this time. I've been finishing up projects and doing all these things, and I'm very much enjoying not having to do that at this point. But for those of you that are still in school, you still have to make a choice in order to do your schoolwork. You still have to wake up in the morning and decide that, you know, your parents already decided you're going to go to school, but you have to decide to actually do the work. You have to decide that you're going to sit down, you're going to work on that essay, you're going to write that paper, you're going to do those math equations. You know, for me personally, math was the subject that I had to really decide that I was going to do because I did not like math. It just was not my thing. I would do any other subject. I love history, I love science, I love all these things. When it came down to math, it was just, ugh. I had to actually decide to do it. It wasn't a natural thing for me to do. You know, some other things. Working out. If you work out, if you run, if you try to stay in shape, it takes a choice. You know, I think in the mornings, I get up about an hour earlier so that I can go run, and then I'll lift weights in the afternoon. The lifting weights isn't too bad. I'm already kind of awake and stuff, but the morning one. When I have the choice to either sleep in and get some extra sleep or go run on a treadmill or down the street or something, it is a really hard choice to make. I have found I have to make the choice the night before because if I try to make the choice while I'm laying in the comfort of bed, it doesn't happen. You're just laying there like, yeah, this, you know, running would be good. Yeah, no, I'm going to lay in bed. That's what I'm going to do. I have to make that choice. We are faced with these choices all throughout our life. And we're faced with these ideas that we have things that are natural to do and that are easy to do. And then we have things that are hard to do that don't come naturally. We have to make the choice to do. And this is exactly what Paul is talking about here this morning. You see, in Romans 6 so far, he's been discussing about, he begins the chapter and saying, are we going to continue to sin because we're under grace? And he talks about how that is completely the wrong idea. He's talking about how our new identity is in Christ. And he gets to verse 16. I mean, he begins to discuss what it was like for us before we were saved, when we were slaves to sin, and what it looks like now for us to be servants unto righteousness. But I want you to see, first of all, this morning, that the natural desire is to be a slave to sin. This isn't something that we have to decide to do. We don't go down life and all of a sudden just like, oh yeah, I'm going to sin today. It just comes naturally. There are choices that we make that are sinful. There's choices that we make in our day that we do sin. But it isn't hard to do. It's because it is natural for us to sin. You see, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 14 through 16, looking at this natural desire of us to sin. This is also Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." It says, but the natural man, what is natural for us before salvation, it is easy for us to sin. We cannot receive the things of God because they're foolishness unto us. We ask, why is the world the way it is? Why is there sin happening all over around us? Why is there shootings happening? Why are these terrible things happening that people are doing to other people? It's because the things of the Lord, the things that are right, they're foolishness unto them. Man is naturally evil. There is nothing righteous about a man before he is saved. Because we are naturally evil, because naturally the things of God, the things that are right and the things that are good are foolishness unto us. This is why everything happens around us. Why we see the evil in the world around us, because it is natural for man to be like this. Then we look at verse 15. "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For he hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ." You see, the natural man does not receive these things, but the spiritual man, the saved person, does receive these things. So we see the natural desire is to be a slave of sin. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." You see, sinning comes easy. You know, the devil wouldn't be going about seeking whom he may devour. It wouldn't be natural for us to want to be devoured by something. I would hope not. I don't know if anyone here has ever been to Africa or a place where there's these lions. I've seen lions before at the zoo, so it's a little bit different. But I remember being at the zoo one time, and there was this lion that was like right next to the glass, and he was just sitting there roaring. It was incredible. You could hear him like all the way across the zoo. And I'm like walking up to it, and you see him right on the other side of the glass, and it's just amazing seeing the power coming from that lion just roaring. And you think about that, the verse right there in 1 Peter, where the devil is likened to that lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. I know very well that that lion would love to have devoured me, but we had like 6 inches of glass between us, thankfully. But that lion was seeking who it could devour, what it could devour. You know, you think about how ravenous they are and how desiring they have to eat and how terrible and fearful they are. And that is why God compares the devil to them in a way that this is what the devil is like constantly, seeking whom it may devour. You see, if sinning didn't come easily for us, we wouldn't have to do what the first part of that verse says in 1 Peter. It says, be sober and be vigilant. You see, if we wouldn't have to be sober and vigilant, we wouldn't have to be watching out for the devil if it was hard for us to sin. If it was hard for us to yield ourselves to the natural man, to the fleshly desires. But because it is natural for us to do that, we have to purpose in our hearts to watch out for the devil and for his tricks and for his devices that he uses to trick us. Because if we are not being sober and being vigilant, we are going to be caught and we are going to be devoured by the devil. It is easy to sin. It's just natural for us. Ephesians 6:12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Think about it this way. It'd be a little bit different if what we were struggling with was actually like a flesh and blood person that we saw all the time. You know, you could identify what your enemy is. You think about it, maybe some games you play, like you got tag, you got the person you know that is it, and you have to watch out for them. As long as you don't get touched by the person who's it, you're fine, you're free. But if that person was invisible, boy, that'd be really hard. All of a sudden, the game is just completely changed because you can't identify who your enemy is physically. You can't see it. This is why this is such a struggle for us, because our enemy is not flesh and blood, but his principalities against powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Our enemy is Satan. This is a spiritual battle. This is not a physical battle that we can just identify easily. This is a spiritual battle that takes place inside of every single one of us. And that is why we have to begin it with purposing to be watching out for the devil and his tricks. Sin comes easy for us. It is natural. But not only does sinning come easy, we see that the works of the flesh show up in our lives in many, many different ways. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 19 through 21. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. We see Paul here talking to a church at Galatia. He's identifying these things that we are supposed to be watching out for, these sins that we are struggling with. It says in verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh," the things that come natural, "the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." What is this giving a picture of? There are so many different things that are listed there, and then at the end of and other things as well. Paul gives us this whole list of things that we could struggle with that are natural for us to do. Things that we don't have to think twice about doing because it just is easy for us to do. These works of the flesh, these natural desires, show themselves in many different ways. You know what? Maybe some of us deal with just a couple of these. Maybe some of us deal with a lot of these different things. But each one of us have our own personal natural desires that we don't have to be taught to do, that we just do because that is what our flesh desires. And then he says here, because in verse 19, "of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Why? Because we are slaves to these sins. Because we are in bondage to these desires that are controlling us. The whole idea of slavery is that you are in bondage. You do not have the choice to be there. That you are serving a master that is in control of you, that you cannot just leave, that you are underneath their power. You are in bondage. And that is what it is like to live under sin before you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And these different sins show themselves in many different ways. And you see, we do not choose to be slaves to sin. We are born into it. As soon as we are born, we're a sinner. I don't have to tell my daughter that she's a sinner. She's going to realize that someday. She's going to naturally show that. Psalm 51:5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Genesis 8:21 says, "For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." Psalm 58:3, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Folks, as soon as we are born with that desire to sin. We are born with a natural tendency to do opposite of what God desires for us, to do evil. There is no one that is born a good person. There's only been one person that was ever born on this earth that was perfect, and that was a good person, and that was Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. This whole idea that men are naturally good, that it's just some things that happen to them, maybe some psychological things that come about in their life that make them do evil things, is completely wrong. That is a false idea that it has nothing to do with Scripture. God tells us that we are born naturally sinners. Romans 8, 10 through 12 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You think Paul was trying to stress something here? He's saying God is saying that there is no person on this earth that is naturally good. We are all born into this slavery, all born into this bondage of sin. It is natural for us to do these things. You think of back in the time when people owned slaves in this country. If you were born into a slave family, you were a slave. Your parents were slaves, you were a slave. They didn't have a choice about it. We are born into the same situation. We are born as slaves to sin. But what ultimately is the end of this slavery, this bondage to sin? Look in Romans, where we were at in Romans 6 and verse 21. Verse 21 says, "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." The ultimate end of living a life in bondage to sin is death. If we never turn our lives over to Christ, if we never give up our natural desires to be sinning and to be a sinful creature, the ultimate end there is death. And this is eternal death, eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Because we have not given ourselves over to the Lord. We have not accepted His free gift of salvation. The ultimate end thereof is death. Romans 6:23, with the end of this passage, also says, "For the wages of sin is death." Psalm 145:20 says, "The Lord preserveth all them that love Him, but the wicked will He destroy." And then Ezekiel 18:20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Folks, it could be kind of gloomy and dreary. And this is where we leave it. If we think, well, there's really no hope. Ultimately, we're in this bondage. We have no hope of freedom. You think back many years ago and the slaves and even the slaves today that are in that bondage, they really feel like they have no hope whatsoever. There's no lifeline there for them. There's no way that they can be rescued from this bondage. But we know that we have hope in God. And because of Him sending His Son for us, we can be rescued from that bondage. But we have to realize, before we can accept that free gift, we have to repent of the sin that we've been living in and the sin that we continue to choose to do. And we have to realize that this sin comes natural, that this is not something that is hard to do. It is easy, that it shows itself in so many different ways. We don't have to be told to be sinners. We naturally do it. The first time that I was told that by my parents that they knew that I sinned, I was just about 2 years old, and my dad had seen me over by an electrical outlet by the wall. And I was kind of messing around with it, and my dad said, no, don't touch that. He said, that's bad. And he kind of walked away, and I was kind of still a little bit over by it, and my dad went up to it, and he said, do not touch this electrical outlet. He's like telling me, explain it to me. Sometimes you don't know if the kids are listening. It's a hard age to understand. There's no comprehension. And I was just kind of sitting there, and he kind of pulled me away, and he was kind of went about it. And then he went over there, and he watched me, and I went right up next to it, and I kind of sat there, and I don't remember doing this, but my dad told me I did, so I'll believe him. But I looked over at my dad, and then I looked at the outlet, and I took my finger, and I drew an outline around the outlet. Like, I will not touch it, but I will get as close as possible. I think I knew at that point what sin was. I think I knew, I decided at that point what sinning was. I wasn't going to give in completely, but I was going to get as close as possible. And the fact that I looked at my dad and did it, that kind of sealed the deal. So my dad realized that it was at that point that he could then take me into the lesson of learning what discipline was. And from that point on, I knew that there was consequences for my sin. And it was at that point that I realized that every choice that I made had a consequence. It was either good or it was bad. I realized that if I continued to mess with the outlets, there was going to be bad consequences. There could be worse consequences than my dad having to discipline me. If I stuck my finger into that outlet, it'd be really bad. And as we go throughout life, we realize that every decision that we make has a consequence. If we're going to continue to sin, if we're going to continue to live as a slave to sin, the ultimate consequence, the ultimate decision that is made by us, the consequence that we decide on is death. The eternal death, the eternal separation from God. If we live our lives in slavery to sin and never come to a saving realization of Jesus Christ, ultimately we're going to pay the consequence of death. But we can have that hope in God and know that after we accept His free gift of salvation, He rescues us from that bondage to sin, from being a slave to sin, and gives us a new life. So we see, second of all, that we should have a new desire to be servants to righteousness. Look at verse 17 in Romans 6. But God be thanked. We know we just had Thanksgiving. We just had a time where we thanked God, hopefully, for a lot of things in our life. We thanked other people for things that they have done. We look at all the blessings around us. But did you stop and to consider and thank God that He gave us salvation? The ultimate gift. You know, without God's salvation, without the sacrifice of His Son on the cross, the shedding of His blood, we would have no hope for anything. We would have no idea of what was going on in life. We would have all this happening around us. There would be no hope anywhere. We would have no rescue from this bondage of sin. And it says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You see, the transformation that takes place is we were servants to sin. We were slaves to sin. We were in that bondage. But then we obeyed God and we accepted His free gift of salvation that He was offering to us, that He had given to us. And now we have been washed by the blood of His Son. We are made clean. We are now His servants unto righteousness. We are no longer slaves to sin. We have put off the old man. We are no longer identifying with sin, or we should not be. You see, but the first act here is that being a servant of righteousness requires obedience. We have to obey Christ. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. If we say that we love God and we truly love Him, we have to obey Him. We have to obey His commandments. We have to obey what God has commanded us. John 14:15, if ye love me, you will keep my commandments. 1 Peter 1:13-14. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. In our ignorance. You know, there's a point in our life where we don't realize the sin that we're living in. Before we get to that point where, as I did, where I knew what sin was and I acknowledged it and I accepted it, we're in an ignorance state where we don't realize that we're sinning. But as soon as we do that, we should come to the point where we realize what we're living in and the bondage that we're in, and we should accept God's gift of salvation, and we should turn away from that sin, and we should run to God. See, if we're going to be obedient children, we cannot fashion ourselves after our former lifestyle. Because if we say that we are Christians, and yet we are still identifying as slaves to sin, we are not living the life that God has for us. We are not living what He has called us to do. See, there should be an obvious difference between a slave to sin and a servant of righteousness. Look at verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Okay, before we were saved, we were servants to the sin. Okay? We know we did not have any identity in Christ. We were the servants of sin. We had no righteousness. We were free from it. We weren't in bondage to righteousness. We were free from it. We had no identity in that. But then verse 21, what fruit had ye in those things whereof you are now ashamed? What kind of fruit did you have in that? What was the ultimate end result there? As we've already seen, the end of those things is death. In verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There should be a marked difference in our lives if we say that we are Christians. Those of us that are believers should be able to look at other believers and say that you can see a difference in their lives. If you knew someone before they were saved and you know them now, there should be a distinct difference in their life. The world around us should be able to look at us and say that there is something different about you. They may not know what it is, but there should be a difference in your life if you identify as a believer, if you say that you are living a life of righteousness in God. Ephesians 4:22-23 says, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put off our former conversation as our former lifestyle. We're putting that off. We're no longer identifying that. We're now identifying with Christ. We're no longer yielding ourselves to those corrupt lusts, but we are renewed in the spirit of our mind. Galatians 5, 16 through 17 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Paul is saying here that these are so contrary to one another, you can't do both. You see, either we are going to be slaves to sin, or we're going to be servants unto righteousness of God. We cannot do both. You think of the transformation that takes place in your life. You think of maybe famous people in the world who have had some amazing transformations where they started off in their life and then where they ended up. You think of a man named Sam Walton. He was a farmer's son. He lived grew up during the Depression. And he would milk his cows to help his family out. Then he would go and he'd deliver newspapers. He would sell magazine subscriptions just to make ends meet. And then he started working at a grocery store. And then he went and he became a manager at this grocery store. And then he saved up some money, took out a loan, and bought a store. And then he expanded that store, and now today we have Walmart and Sam's Club. But when he started his life, you would have looked at him. There's no way you would have said that he would have been one of the most wealthy men when he passed away at the time that you saw him when he was young. He looked completely different. But he had a change that took place in his life, and all of a sudden now he is identifying as someone different. So we as Christians should look back on ourselves before we were saved, and we're living in the bondage and the slavery and the muck and the filth of this world. And we should see how we were living. And we should now look at where we are at in Christ, and we should say that there has been an amazing transformation that has taken place in our lives. And we should say that no longer do I live like that, but now I am living as unto Christ. I no longer am living in the way of the world. I am living in the way of Christ. And there should be a marked difference in our lives. See, God does not consider us just servants, though. Positionally, we are His servants. Because of everything that God has done for us, we deserve nothing less. We deserve nothing more than that. We should be servants. We should be His slaves for eternity. And we are. We are in so much debt to Him for what He has given us. You see, without His Son dying, without Him giving us that free gift, we would still be over there in that bondage to sin. We would still be slaves to sin. But because He gave us that free gift, we now have the hope of eternity in heaven and that gift of salvation. And we are no longer guilty of the sins that we have committed. God has forgiven us of the sins we've already committed, the sins we're going to commit. And He has given us that gift of salvation. We can look to Him for that hope. But you know what? God doesn't stop there. When God looks at us, He looks and He sees His Son. And He sees so much more. Look in Galatians chapter 4. Turn over there. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Galatians 4, 1 through 9. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did serve unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" You see, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we now become servants of God. And that is the position that we are in. But relationally, God sees us as His sons and His daughters, and as heirs to His throne. You see, it wasn't enough for God just to rescue us from out of that bondage, but He accepted us into His family. He gave us that place to live in eternity forever in heaven. And He has given us so much, we could never, ever hope to repay Him. And yet, what do we do so many times as thanks to Him? We run back and we identify ourselves as slaves to sin. We run back to that sin that is so enjoyable, that gives us those temporary pleasures. Verse 8 says, "Howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods." When you were in that sin, you did those things that were sinful. But verse 9, "But now, after that ye have known God," or rather are known of God, we're identifying with God. Paul says, "How turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" Folks, how can we do that? How can we be identifying with Christ and yet still run over to the sin that we lived in our former life? It makes no sense. Why would we want to be taking part of those things that displease God, displease our God that saved us from a life of sin, from the out of that life, and has not only just given us a place as a servant in His house, but has made us an heir that is equal with His Son? We see in Romans 8, 17, that if we are heirs, we are also joint heirs with Christ. We're placed on the same level as the one who died for us. And yet we so many times turn back to that former lifestyle. We turn back to the natural desires that are easy for us. We don't make the hard choices. We don't decide to yield ourselves to righteousness. Instead, we yield ourselves to sin. If you are here today, and you're saying, "Well, this all sounds really good, but I don't think I've ever accepted that gift of salvation, and I can't say I even identify as a servant to righteousness," then the decision here today is somewhat simple. You need to make the decision today that you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you're going to put off the former lifestyle, the life that you're in now as a sinner, and in that bondage, and you're going to accept that lifeline that God is giving you. You're going to become that servant unto righteousness. You need to choose to obey, to repent of your sins, and to accept that gift of salvation. And that is available to every single person here today. God promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not just this half of the church that it's available to. It's not just these few pews right here. It is everyone that is sitting in here today. God's salvation is open and available to everyone. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John 1, 9 tells us exactly how we do that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we acknowledge that we're living in this sin, we acknowledge that we have been slaves to sin, and we look to God and we say, "I want that free gift of salvation. I want that lifeline. And I repent of the sins that I have been doing. And I claim your gift of salvation." God promises that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from that former lifestyle, and to make us His servants to righteousness, and then to accept us into His family. And we can all be one family with God. And we can be a part of that family here on earth, and we can be a part of that family in heaven for eternity. And it is the most amazing experience. It is the thing that you would be the most thankful for the rest of your life. If you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the things that you just thanked God for a couple days ago on Thanksgiving, the things that you thank for the people around you, maybe you didn't even understand you're thanking God for, would pale in comparison to next year when you could thank God for the salvation that He has given you. And if you don't completely understand that, and maybe you're questioning whether you have accepted that free gift, please come and talk to someone. Talk to one of us pastors. Talk to someone that brought you here today. And the most amazing experience that you could ever have would be yours today if you repent from your sins, from that lifestyle of slavery to sin, and accept God's gift of salvation. Do that today. But Christians, are we living as servants of righteousness while still identifying as slaves to sin? Are we claiming to be Christians, but yet when we leave the doors of this church and we walk out from here, no one could ever say that you are a Christian? Are we Christians that only identify as servants to righteousness on Sunday, but then when it's convenient, but then when it's inconvenient, we just walk away from it? And when we get around our friends in the world, we don't want to make a big deal about it, so we just kind of blend in with them? Are we still living a life that identifies in sin in every single way, but yet we still claim to be Christians? Folks, as we discussed last Sunday, we cannot live a lifestyle that is just a Sunday or a Wednesday Christian. We need to be a Christian every single day of the life of our life. Our identity is now in Christ. Our identity is no longer with the things of the world. We can no longer say that we are sinners. We have been saved by grace. And we are now God's servants. We are now His children. We are now joint heirs to His throne. And we need to return the thanks, give the thanks to God for what He has given to us by living a life set apart for Him. Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." Folks, what we like to do so many times is we like to just kind of try to serve both masters. We like to sin a little bit, but then we come back and we serve God. And then we come over here and we serve. We can't do it. We can't serve two masters. We can only serve one. And either we're going to be serving sin and Satan, or we're going to be serving God. Just as Joshua said, "Choose you this day who you will serve." He said, "But as for me and my house, we are going to serve God." Choose you today, Christian. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve your own fleshly desires? Are you going to serve sin, the natural things in your life? Or are you going to serve God? We need to decide right now before we leave these doors. Because if we don't purpose in our heart to do it now, we're not going to do it tomorrow. If I don't decide that I'm going to run in the morning, I'm not going to do it. You have to purpose before it even happens that that's what you're going to do. Decide right now, decide today who you're going to serve, and decide for you and your house that you are going to serve the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for just how convicting this is. Lord, how many times we go back to the ways of the world, and we go back to the natural desires of sinning and yielding to our flesh. Lord, I pray that just as Joshua desired, that we would choose today who we're going to serve. Lord, that we would decide right now not to serve the way of the world and our flesh, but Lord, that we would yield to you. Lord, if we truly are believers, help us to live in that. Lord, help us to love you more and more every single day. Help us to show that love by obeying your commands. And Lord, I pray if anyone is here today and they do not know you as their Savior, that today would be their day of salvation, that they could be free from that bondage of sin, they could be free from the unknowing of why this is all happening in the world, and Lord, that they could just have that freedom in you and the joy of knowing that you are their Savior. And Lord, I pray that you would just do a great work here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go ahead and turn with me to number 468. 468, as we stand, "I have decided to follow Jesus." This can apply to you whether you are a Christian today. Are you deciding to follow Jesus today? This can also apply to you if you have not accepted Jesus Christ. Can this be your prayer today that you have decided to follow Jesus? Number 468 on the first stanza.
"I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back."
Let's go ahead and sing the fourth verse. If you need to deal with the Lord, if you need to commit to Him, do that right now. And if you do not know the Lord as your Savior, please come and talk to someone today. We love to open God's Word and show you how you can be saved. On the fourth verse.
"Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back."
Amen. It's great to have everyone here this morning. We hope that you'll come and join us this evening as we open God's Word and look at more truths that He has for us. Let's go ahead and close in prayer this morning. Lord, thank you so much for your love for us, that you gave us the opportunity to be rescued out of that bondage. And I pray, Lord, that not only would we desire to live like that in our lives today, but that we would live it out in front of those around us so that everyone could come to that saving knowledge of you. Thank you so much for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a good afternoon.